Shalom, welcome back to Wisdom and Torah Ministries. My name is Rico Cortez, and I'm always delighted to share the wonderful works of the Torah. We have been talking about biblical mikvah, biblical immersion, not religious theological way of looking at immersion. We're looking at the biblical understanding. Now, have you ever wondered why every time you do a mikvah immersion, you use the name of Yeshua? That in the name of Yeshua, you do this. We're going to explain why we have to use the name of Yeshua in regards to mikvah. And this is very significant because, unfortunately, people say you have to be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But in reality, if you go back to ancient manuscripts, that expression in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit is not there. Then we want to understand why is it that it's in the name of Yeshua and not in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I'm not trying to get into a debate here, but when you go into the Hebraic understanding of Scripture, then you know the reasons why the apostles say, and Paul said, and Kepha, Peter said, in the name of Yeshua, the Messiah. And we're going to talk about these things in the Hebraic light. I hope you're enjoying yourself, because I always do when in regards to talking about Torah. Now, let's continue the teaching on mikvah. Let me do a little review so you know where I'm coming from. As we go to the screen, you'll see that we're going to be talking about the water, what it symbolizes as a birth as an Israelite. It says submerging in a pool of water for the purpose not of using the water's physical cleansing properties, but expressly to symbolize the change of soul in a statement at once deeply spiritually and immensely compelling. No other symbolic act can so totally embrace a person as being submerged in water, which must touch and cover every lesion, every strand of hair, every birthmark. No other religious act is so frightened with the meaning as this one, which touches every aspect of life and proclaims a total commitment to a new idea and a new way of life as it swallows up the old man and gives birth to the new. Now, water of the mikvah is designed to ritually cleanse a person from deeds of the past. The convert is considered by Jewish law to be a newborn child, but spiritually cleansing the convert, the mikvah water prepares him or her to confront Elohim, life, and people with a fresh spirit and new eyes. It washes away the past, leaving only the future, of course. This does not deny that there were good or beautiful aspects of the past, but in the strictest religious sense, this was the only way to a future life as a Jew in Hebraic understanding. Okay, but we explained in the last session about that. Now we're now part of Israel and the problem in the first century. It says, according to Rabbi Maurice Lamb, says this: if we take the graphic metaphor a step further, we can sense that the mikvah is a spiritual womb. The human fetus is surrounded by water, and it does not yet live. The water breaks in a split second, and the child emerges into a new world. As soon as the convert emerges, he is a Jew in every aspect, according to Yevamot 47b. So, what does that really mean to you? It's talking about a transition. So, if Hebraically the mikvah, immersion, or in your case, baptism, is a transition from the old, from a Gentile past of worshiping things that are not ordained by Yahweh, to a new way of life, to a new lifestyle, to a new observance of different commandments from non-Torah, lawlessness, to following the commandments. So therefore, you have to change your status from a Gentile to what? Because that's what you came out of. You came out of somebody who was not in covenant. You came out of someone who was practicing things that are not God ordained. You came out of the system that has been profaning you, basically keeping you away from the intimacy between you and the Creator. The mikvah is a physical symbol to let the whole world that you have changed your status from a heathen, from a pagan, from a Gentile, because that's what the word Gentile really means, into a new creature, a new lifestyle. And now you're presenting yourself before Elohim in right standing with him, not only from the inside, but also from the outside. You got the circumcised heart, now you have the immersion. What I find really intriguing is that every church that I know of, they practice immersion. What do you think they got that from? A lot of the churches, they completely are against anything Hebraic, but they practice baptism. Where do they get baptism from? The New Testament? Wrong. Baptism is nothing new. Immersion and mikvah is nothing new. The mikvah has been established from the beginning of time. We know this. What do you think the flood was? The flood was a worldwide mikvah because of chaos and because of violence and because of profaning the word of Yahweh, that Yahweh redid everything again and restored everything again. And then you have Noah coming out of the what? Out of the water, out of the what? The ark, as a child in a womb. And then you have eight people in the ark. New beginnings and resurrection. That was a new beginning. That's being born again. That's whole time and type and shadow in the book of Genesis is to teach us about the whole restoration of all things. And the same thing is going to happen when Mashiach comes. When Mashiach comes, what is going to happen according to the book of Zechariah? The book of Zechariah tells us that the mount is going to divide in two. The Mount of Olives is going to divide in two. And that water is going to come forth. What do you think that's going to do? It's going to do a mikvah of the land. It's going to cleanse the Mount of Olives and the Temple Mount. And it's going to make it right standing for the foot of Mashiach to be put on the Mount of Olives. That's really what it's talking about. Everything biblical has a teaching about your spiritual and your physical aspect or your spiritual life. Many people only take the physical and only take the spiritual. We're trying to merge both of them. And that's what we're trying to do. Let's continue with the teaching. How immersion was done. According to Jewish law, I'm reading, remember, I'm trying to show you what Judaism does and then compare it to what Cornelius and what Paul was talking about, what Peter was talking about, okay? A Jewish baptism has never been taken lightly. But in ancient times, immersion was to be performed in the presence of witnesses. Very important. Yevamot 47b. Now, witnesses is very significant because in the immersion of Yeshua, you have John the Immerser, you have the people that are present, and then you have the dove, and then you have the voice of Yahweh come from heaven speaking about the Yeshua as the Son who has been chosen to do that job. So you have the witnesses. It's very significant because when you have witnesses, you have somebody who can vouch for you. In Judaism, the rabbi is the witness that you have made a transition from the old to the new. And normally in Judaism, you take the name of the rabbi in which is teaching you to make the transition. You take the name of the person who's teaching you to make the transition to become a newborn person. Interesting. Isn't that what Peter's saying? Let's do it in the name of Yeshua. Why? Because he is the true witness. And he is the true rabbi. And we're going to cover that in scriptures in a minute. Let's continue. The person being baptized made special preparations by cutting his nails, undressed completely, and made a fresh profession of his faith before the designated day. Fathers of the baptism, Ketuvah. You see that in Ketuvah 11a and Eruvim 15a of the Mishnah. So what you need to understand, in the Talmud, and what you need to understand is the way that you would do this. And according to Christianity, right, they look at some of these rituals that they used to do in the temple, and then that Judaism still practices to this day. And they will consider them extreme, but they don't understand the real meaning behind them. For example, why do you cut all your nails and you make sure that everything is cleansed? Because in my opinion, this is my observation, you don't want anything to be in your underneath the nails from the past. You don't want, it's a ritual. Remember, it's a type and shadow. You understand? So sometimes we have things hidden in our minds and hidden in our hearts, hidden in our bodies that reflect sin. So in mikvah, you do the same thing. You don't want every piece of hair to be dry. Why? Because you don't want anything from the past to carry over to the future. You want your nails nicely cut and cleansed. Why? You don't want dirt from the past to still there for the future. You want to be completely healed. You want to be completely cleansed. You know, this is very important for us to understand. That ritual is a teaching about your state, not only on the outside in your body, but also from the inside, from your heart. These are things that we need to learn in order to understand holiness and how to be tahor, how to be holy, how to be cleansed instead of tamei, how to be unclean and uncommon. Uncommon. That's we need, some of the things we need to understand. Let's continue this. Okay, let's continue with this. Ancient sages teach that the word mikvah has the same letters as kol vedmet, the Hebrew word for rising or standing tall. Therefore, we see the idea of being baptized as straight away. In other words, when you get immersed, I shouldn't use the word baptized, but for the sake of the audience who is listening, I'm trying to make the connection between mikvah and between baptism, okay? Now, the baptism of the church looks nothing like the mikvah of the Bible. Are you with me? And some of you get upset with me sometimes because some of the statements that I make. But let's compare notes. You have somebody doing it in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay? Which, well, I'm not going to get into that debate there now, but we understanding why we have to use the name of Yeshua, it makes perfect sense with a rabbinical understanding of mikvah. Because he's a true witness, and we're going to back it up with scripture in a minute. Then we dunk them backwards, and they basically, what they do, they grab your head. You know how it is. They grab your head, and they dunk you back, which the Bible says doesn't say anything about back. It's supposed to be down or forward. It's supposed to go down two or three times. And the person who is there as a witness is not to touch you. He is there only as a witness. But in the church, they do it backwards. Now, so many of you might get upset with me because I'm basically destroying some sacred cows of the dogma or the theology that we have inherited. But if you're going to inherit a tradition or a ritual from the Bible that has been put in place by all my Jewish brothers for all this time, then let's do it right. You know, let's not hijack something that is biblical and something that is from the Tanakh, from the Torah and the prophets, and then apply it our own way, the way we want to do it, when in fact, that's not how it's done. You see, this is the reason why my Jewish brothers have no respect for those people, for all of us who believe in Yeshua. Because we take the Hebraic things and we turn them into the Greek things. We want to do it our way. We want to apply it the way we want. That's not the order of business. If you are making a transition from your world to a new world, preparing yourself to confront the Creator, Elohim, then why are we trying to do things our way when, in fact, it's in contradiction to Yahweh's way? That's my point in this. And this is something that we need to really emphasize and we need to confront, that it's not our way, it's Yahweh's way. Okay, let's continue. Conversion blessing. When they are recited, the blessing in the mikvah is as follows. Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, asher kedishanu v'mitzvotav v'tzivanu al ha-tevila. See, al ha-tevila. And this is what you're supposed to say when you get immersed. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments and commanded us regarding the immersion. That is the blessing that has been prescribed from the beginning. Now, I know that Judaism, in some ways, they go to extremes in some things, but so does Christianity. So when do we reconcile both and try to follow what the Bible says? This is the whole point. Here we go. Immersion was accompanied by exhortation and benediction, according to Maimonides. A convert will reaffirm his acceptance of the Torah by declaring, I will do and I will hear. That's exactly what they will say in the Mount Sinai when they heard the voice of Yahweh. Everything that Yahweh has said, we will obey and do. So when if you're coming into do immersion, you have to make a confession of faith. And that confession of faith has to do with, I will do and I will hear. Shema. I will do and I will hear. Shema. Okay? So are we hearing and doing what Torah says we're supposed to do? And this is something that we need to understand. So in biblical understanding of a mikvah and immersion, when you do the immersion, you do the blessing, thanking the Creator for commanding us to be cleansed, because it has you presenting yourself, you're getting ready to present yourself to your King. Then you make a confession. That's why Paul is saying in Romans chapter 10, that if you confess Yeshua, let me go there for a minute, in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, in Romans chapter 10, he's teaching you how you are grafted in. He's showing you out of Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 11 through 14, in verse 4 through 9. But in verse 8, it says, but what does it say? The word is very near you, even in your heart, even in your mouth, I'm sorry, and in your heart. And that is the word of faith which we preach. And then in verse 9, it says that if you confess with your mouth that Adon Yeshua, and believe in your heart that Elohim raised him from the dead, you shall be saved, okay? But the word confess there is homologeo, which means covenant. One of the definitions is covenant. So you're coming into a covenant. And once you come into a covenant, then you do mikvah to show the world that you are making a transition from the old man to the new man, and you have to say everything that Yahweh says, we will obey and we will do. Exactly what Yeshua said. If you love me, keep my commandments. But does the church do that? No, they do baptism the way they want to do it. They keep the feast they want to keep. They say the Old Testament is old. We have the new. So therefore, baptism in the way the church have inherited from the Catholic Church. You see, because the Catholic Church, they do the sprinkling, which the Bible doesn't say anything about. But you see, the Torah, it speaks about rituals in the temple, in which there were the waters of sanctification from the priest, the waters of sanctification of the red heifer, the ashes of the red heifer, in waters from the pool of Siloam. They would then sprinkle them with hyssop upon the people to be sanctified before they would come into the temple. That is not the baptism we're talking about. The Catholic Church have taken that, and they say you can baptize a kid who's days old, and, you know, whatever, how they do the first communion. I don't even know how to do that. You know, I'm not much aware of that. So they sprinkle upon them the waters, when in fact that has to do with the temple service or the waters of sanctification. But then you also have the mikvah. And the mikvah is the whole body be immersed. You understand? So if you will go to the temple in the first century, you have to do two things. First, you have to do a mikvah, you and your family, a whole body, the whole body mikvah. Then you will present to the priest at the door of the temple, and then he will sprinkle at you the waters of sanctification with a hyssop and the ashes of the red heifer to be cleansed. You understand? You follow? You hope you guys are with me. This is very significant. So the Catholic Church take one aspect of sanctification, and they apply it to everything else. In the Christian religion, they take one aspect of the Hebraic mikvah, and they completely do something different. So there's no reconciliation between both. Why? Because they're removing the Hebraicness of Scripture. So therefore, you only get half of the information. And I'm hoping I can give you more information than you used to. All right, let's continue. A convert would affirm his acceptance to the Torah by declaring, I will do and I will obey and I will hear, which was a phrase from the oath that was originally taken by the priest not to forsake the Torah. You see in Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 9 to 14. Let's go there for a minute so we can read the oath that the priest used to take. In Deuteronomy 29, verses 9 through 14 says this. 9 through 14 says this. Therefore, keep the words of this covenant and do them, that you may prosper in all that you do. If you stand today before Yahweh Elohim, your leaders of your tribes and your elders and your officers, okay, and all the men of Israel, your little ones and your wives, also the strangers who are in your camp, from one who cuts the wood to the one who draws the water, that you may enter into covenant with the Lord, with Yahweh Elohim, and into his oath, which Yahweh Elohim makes with you today, that he may establish you today as a people for himself, and that he may and that he has spoken to you just as he has spoken to you, and just as he has sworn to your fathers, to Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. I make this covenant and this oath not with you alone, listen to what it says, but also with him who stands here with us today before Yahweh our Elohim, as well as with him who is not with us here today. So the covenant is not only with those in Mount Sinai, but anybody who confesses that you will obey and do what Torah says is as if you were there in Mount Sinai. And this is the oath that the priest used to make when before going to the priesthood. So therefore, if we are a nation of priests and a holy nation, we have to make an oath. We will obey and do the commandments. And we have to compare notes. Is the church following the Pesach, Passover? Is the church following Pentecost? Is the church following Yom Teruah, the Feast of Trumpets? Is the church keeping Yom Kippur? And is the church following Tabernacles? No, they're not doing that. They're doing their own thing that are not prescribed. By the way, let me remind you that Easter is not God ordained. It is called the Queen of Heaven in the Bible. So if you are worshiping on that day that you have inherited from the Catholic Church, from the Reformers, to modern-day Christianity, therefore now you are finding yourself in idolatry, worshiping something that is not biblical, you are unclean. You have to be sanctified. You have to be immersed to go from a pagan or a pagan observed feast to a renewed observance to the commandments of Yahweh. By the way, the Catholic Church, they have their own Passover. They have their own Pesach. They have their own Easter. They also have their own Pentecost. that doesn't line up with Scripture. I highly recommend you go back and you verify Scripture. I'm not trying to judge you. I'm not trying to tell you that you're wrong. I'm just saying we have inherited lives. We have inherited traditions. And I want you to become aware of the truth so that when you do something biblical, when you do something, you can learn to differentiate between what is Yahweh ordained and people ordained. You see, we are very quick to judge my Jewish brothers because they're keeping a lot of traditions that man made. But we forget that the church has inherited a lot of traditions that are not God ordained. And we have to be honest with that. We have to be confronted and get out of our box of theology and confront the fact that we have been inherited things that are not biblical. Am I saying that all the aspects of baptism is wrong? No, the principle is correct. But how do we do it correctly? How would Yeshua do it if he was here right now? If Yeshua was among us, how would he do it? Would he do it the church way, or would he do it the Hebraic Jewish way like he learned it? The temple service way like he learned it? Or like he practiced? That's the question. Let's continue. Now, we know that immersion in the Bible is very significant. And we're going to talk about this a little bit more as we go along. So, the Jewish... Let me go back here real quick. I'm sorry, guys. I'm trying to send my PowerPoint. There we go. That's it. The Jewish baptism candidate were often immersed three times. The idea of total immersion comes from the scripture in Leviticus 15:16, when it says, he shall wash all his flesh in the water. See? To make sure they do it three times. So we're going to talk about that because the word wash there means more than wash. And I hope I have enough time in this section. If not, I go to the next one. But it says, one reason it was customary to immerse three times was because the word mikvah occurs three times in the Torah. Okay? According to Jewish law, the immersion had to require witness. And according to Dr. William Lasort in the Biblical Archaeology Review, says, apparently, the biblical phrase in the name of was an indication of a required witness. Now, that's very significant. Because that's where Yeshua come into play. In the book of Revelation, you see in chapter 1, verse 5, says, and from Yeshua the Messiah, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loves us, and washes from our sins in his own blood. So, when the archaeologist William Lasort speaks about that it is believed that in the name of is an expression of the witness who was there. We know who our witness, our true witness, that is going to verify to the Father that we belong to him, that we belong to the people of Israel, that we have made a transition from unholy to holy, from defiled to sanctified, from the observance of things that are not of God to walking in the commandments of the Most Elohim, Yahweh. So the one true witness is going to be Yeshua, our Messiah, who is our anointed one, who is the high priest. He is the Kohen Hagadol right now. Okay, now, it's interesting because in book of Revelation chapter 3, verse 14, says, and unto the angel of the congregation of Laodicea write, says, this thing says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of Elohim. Very interesting. Why is he revealing himself as a true witness in the book of Revelation? Because he is our rabbi. He is our true rabbi. He is the one who really testifies for us before the Father. He is the one who's going to bear witness that we belong to the kingdom of Elohim, that we are part of the 12 tribes, that we have grafted ourselves into the tree, which is Israel, and into their covenant, which is with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. So Yeshua is not only the root, and he's not only the foundation. He is also the true witness. He is also sits at the right hand of the Father and all those things going and so on. The last point before I go on, I got a few more minutes. And it says, the immersion candidate was not touched by the baptizer in Yeshua's day. Because Leviticus 15:16 says, he shall wash all his flesh in the water. In other words, Judaism stresses that the entire body must come in contact with the water of the mikvah. To ensure the immersion was valid, no clothing of individuals would touch the candidate. In other words, this is supposed to be done naked. This is a very private matter. That's why you don't do this in front of women. The women in traditional Orthodox Judaism, the women have their own immersion pool, and the men have their own immersion pool. They don't mix in. So we're doing something wrong. We are basically putting everybody together. We'll put clothes on them. When then the right way of doing this, biblically, that Judaism still practices. It's supposed to be with no clothes. Just you on the water. You see how many things we have been removed? This is a very private matter. Now, but you have the two witnesses. In this case, will be two men. Okay, but we can't do that anymore. It's not logical. We don't have an immersion pool in your local congregations unless you live near a mikvah from an Orthodox community. But then again, if you are a Gentile and you don't consider yourself Israel and you don't walk in the commandment, they're not going to accept you because you're not converted to their religion of Judaism. Interesting. So many things to learn. So many short time. I'm going to continue to this line of teaching. We're going to make this a series, biblical immersion. So I hope you continue to come with me. We're going to talk about more stuff. We're going to build up as we go. And I'm going to show you what Judaism teaches in biblical mikvah and what the church is doing and how we have to reconcile and do the biblical way of doing it according to how Yeshua would do it. The final thing is, who is the authority in your life? Is Yahweh Sevaot, the Elohim of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the authority in your life? Or is traditions handed down from the Catholic Church to the Protestants to the Church Fathers all the way to this now? You choose. I rather follow my Creator, my Redeemer. And I want to do what He did. Amen? Now, remember, do not believe anything I say. Go back and look it up. Verify everything we say. Because in truth, Yahweh is truth. His Torah is truth. And we must obey because we love Him. And we want to delight in Him. Yahweh bless you and keep you. See you next time.